So, well, praise God. Well, we love what God is doing and appreciate the privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. And tonight we're going to open up 1 Peter chapter 4 again. And this morning we worked with the first part of this tandem scripture, verse 17. And tonight we'll work on verse 18 in 1 Peter 4, making our way through the Bible and through the New Testament. And I'll just tell you, I'm more excited right now about what God is doing than I have ever been. And I'm blown away, absolutely blown away by what God is doing and how he's going about it. And I just, I believe that the best is yet to come. I really do. That's not an exaggeration at all. I mean, obviously, heaven is yet to come and eternity with God. The millennial's not going to be too shabby either. Millennial's going to be great. For us, we're going to be in our new bodies and working on staff with God. No sweat, just good. But this is good, and there's miles to go before the coming of the Lord. And who knows what God will do in these heady, prophetic last days. We're looking forward to what God will do. Let's read tonight 1 Peter 4 and 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Well, this is in tandem with judgment begins at the house of God. And these scriptures, they are weighty and have been used in very, very terse and hard ways. But I'm glad judgment begins at the house of God. And I'm glad that my sins can be judged here and go before me to the judgment, and that I can walk into the gates without all of that on my life or following behind me. Aren't you glad judgment begins in the house of God? That's right. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, sounds really scary and negative, kind of perilous. Where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? And it just sounds so hopeless for the ungodly and the sinner. But this is the product of a mature and understanding apostolic heart, or a heart that knows God and the ways of God. Let's explore this tonight. As you're seated tonight, let's give God praise and thanks and magnify his name. We give you praise, O God, and we magnify you and we thank you for your word that is forever settled in the heavens, for your word that never changes but always brings to pass the will and the purpose of God. We thank you, Lord God, and we praise you. Praise God. I want to thank a really good crew that showed up Saturday morning and helped us load up a bunch of shelving and stuff from a government office that's closing down. And Sister Gail Skeeter's husband, Joel, has opened up that door for us, and we appreciate that tonight. And Brother Jeff, you want to take a look? They're out in the bus barn, a bunch of new shelving, some rollaway shelves and stuff, and Sister Megan and Sister Jessica for Sunday school. Y'all take a look at all that and see, there's some more coming of that. But people just keep giving us stuff, and that's a wonderful thing. And we have a policy. Folks want to feed us, we let them. They want to give us stuff, we let them, you know. And we're still looking for Daddy Lowe's to show up. Our adopted daddy. That's going to be so neat. We'll keep you in touch with that. So, do I hear a baby crying? Get ready. Because that's going to be a steady event around here for the next good long while. We are having revival in the nursery. Goodness gracious. There's baby strollers and little babies everywhere. And there's ladies expecting everywhere. And it's just a wonderful thing. So our growth, our median age is just dropping like a rock. I'm getting older and the church is getting younger. Something strange is going on. So, our salvation is a miracle. And we understand that worship is an act of will. Faith is what you do. Love is what you do. There is doing all through the business of living for God. And Martin Luther was breaking away from the Roman Catholic Church, and he started something that has persisted to this day. But don't let anybody ever fool you. When you get to the white throne judgment, you're going to be judged according to your works, what you do, not what you think or what you feel. So we know and we understand, as we rightly divide the word of God, that there is a great deal of responsibility on the individual for living for God. You won't live for God unless you purpose it in your heart. You won't live for God unless you have a made up mind. You won't live for God unless you mind the word of God and develop a prayer life and become a worshiper of God. You won't live for God unless you apply the process and the promise of God that he's delivered to you. We know and we understand that. But our salvation is miraculous beyond the level or the capacity of a man or a woman to even respond to God. Our salvation is miraculous and it is supernatural, and we do not get what we deserve. Because I could do everything I can think of doing, but I couldn't make it right. And I could do every act of kindness and service that I could imagine, but I couldn't do what one drop of blood from Calvary could do. It is goodness, it is grace, it is mercy, it is love, it is God's genuine kindness that saves me. I have no mistaken thought about that. I've got a lot of things I must do for God and in God and in the house, and I understand and rightly divide the word of God, and the word of God will never abdicate the action of your free moral agency and your free will. But after the dust settles and at the end of the day, after I've done everything I can do, Jesus said, you're still an unprofitable servant. He said, if I wasn't carrying the load wouldn't get anywhere. I want you to understand that tonight before we go any further. God does the work that matters. God made a way. God prepared everything, and I am meagerly and poorly equipped to add anything to what God has done. It's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Paul's not writing about a Lutheran theology about the abdication of the importance of works. Luther's writing 1,200 years after Paul, and he doesn't understand squat about what Paul is saying. Luther's a Roman Catholic, totally divorced from the word of God. But God's word never intended for you to think that you don't have responsibility in the business of your salvation. But what Paul is saying is that after I've done everything, and after I've done my best, and after I've bled for this and wept for this, and I've done anything that a man can possibly do for the kingdom of God, at the end of the day, it is by grace that I'm saved, and by faith that I'm saved, and it's not mine, it's the gift of God. I don't come to the table with anything except the power to say yes or no to God. I've decided to say yes to God. Praise God. It's all by the power of Calvary. It's all by the power of the cross. It's all by the power of the name of Jesus, the name above every name, the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's by the power of the name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess to, that he in fact is Lord of all. It's by the power of the name that is a strong tower and a refuge for every child of God. It's by the Holy Ghost of God, the gift gift of God, the promise of God, the blessing of God that in me is greater than he that is in the world. It's by the rejuvenating reformation power of the Holy Ghost that God gives to me. My salvation is by the word of God. It's by the infallible, it's constant, the heavens word of God that never changes. The word of God is my strength and my sword. Go and read the 119th Psalm tonight and understand that everything we have and everything we do and all that is possible in the kingdom of God is possible by the word of God. I thank God tonight for a nurturing church. I thank God tonight that when I came into the house, the church was there with open arms to take me in and teach me and love me and help me and forgive me and nurture me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thank God for the church tonight. I wouldn't be saved without the church. I thank God for the kindness of the people of God. You say what you want, friend. You go on about your business, but I love God's church tonight. I love the people of God. I love preachers tonight. I love saints of God who love to pray. I love worshipers tonight. I love people that are faithful to the house of God. I love the church of the living God. I never would have been saved without the church. You won't be saved without the church. We don't deny your responsibility, but friend of mine, without the cross, without the word, without the spirit, without the church, without all that God has provided, we don't have a chance at all. I thank God for the kindness of the people of God. I thank God for elders who went before and walked through the difficult times and prayed the prayers and had the light on when I came to the house of God. I thank God for all of that. I thank God for as I go and the longer I go and the further I go, I see it more clearly. And when I was young and just getting started in it, I couldn't see it so clearly. But God left little handfuls on purpose for me all along the way. And God did precious things for me that I didn't deserve and I didn't earn and I couldn't understand, but he was bringing me along. He was leading me into a destiny in his Holy Ghost and in his spirit. And God did all that. He had it planned from the foundation of the earth. He had every bit of this already planned before I ever drew my first breath. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. I want you to know tonight, that is my salvation. I had nothing to do with that. I don't have any power to bring into the equation other than to agree with God. I thank God for undeniable miracles. I thank God that I've been able to see God change lives and alter destinies and heal the sick and raise people up off of sick beds. And I thank God that he's prepared everything. And even though he's given us everything that we need, and he's prepared it all from the foundation of the earth, most people don't live for God. Most people, even though God's done it wall to wall, comprehensively, completely, thought of everything, most people don't live for God. And of those who try, of those who reach out and touch it or walk in the door of it, most of those will fail. The seed and the story of the sower in the parable. One of four fell on good ground. Some fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air took it up. When he explained it, he said that was a hard heart, and it couldn't be penetrated by the word of God. And the devil is like a fowl of the air and took the seed right out of that heart before it had time to germinate. He said some fell on stony ground, ground that was encumbered with stones. It hadn't been well prepared. It was full of all kinds of competing things, and the word of God never could penetrate at any decent level. And so that might spring up, but it would die quickly. And that's the history of so many that come to the house of God. They spring up and it's wonderful and they're happy and they're clapping their hands, and then they go home or they go out on the job, and the weight of the dominant culture or the pressure of the family crushes them down, and they they don't live for God. He said some fell among thorny places, and the thorns overwhelmed, and the thorns competed, and the seed of God could not compete with things that they loved more than God, and they couldn't turn loose of the things of the world. I heard that the preacher in Spanish church this morning preached about the five foolish and the five wise virgins. Is that true? Did you preach about that? Es la verdad. Usted predica sobre los virginias? ¿Cómo se dice? Come preach a little bit about that. Hurry, run. Muy rápidamente. Tell us about the five foolish and the five wise virgins.
Spanish.
Por favor.
Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Eran 10 vírgenes. Hallelujah. Y 10, aleluya, tenían, aleluya, la misma bendición del rey. Pero 5, aleluya, no llevaron aceite extra, aleluya. Y le dijeron, por favor, dame un poquito más de tu aceite. Aleluya. Dice, dame un poquito más para esperar al novio, porque viene por la iglesia. Aleluya. Las 10 tuvieron la misma oportunidad de llegar al cielo. Aleluya. Las 10 tuvieron la misma oportunidad de conocer al rey. Pero porque 5, aleluya, dijeron, yo me espero sin aceite. Pero el Dios Todopoderoso nos está dando la palabra diariamente, diariamente, aleluya. No nomás los domingos en la noche, no nomás los domingos en la mañana, diariamente, aleluya. Hoy yo siento la presencia del Señor. ¿Cuántos dicen amén? ¿Cuántos dicen yo tengo mi vaso lleno de la bendición del Señor? Aleluya. ¿Cuántos dicen yo voy a ver al rey? Aleluya. Amén. Un fuerte aplauso para el Señor.
That's good preaching. I don't care who you are. How many want their vessel full of oil? So we see in the parables, and Jesus teaches us five wise and five foolish virgins. And you can just see that these are those who tried to come, and these are those who started the journey. Many are going to start the journey, but very few are going to finish. Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Many are going into destruction, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. And so out of the multitudes that have lived and breathed in the earth, there's only a handful that are going to find this treasure buried in the field, this wonderful gift that God has made available to us. And he tightens it down even more in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. There are a lot of people that will never find it. And here he says a lot of folks are going to try to enter in and shall not be able. It reduces the numbers down even further. And so we don't dispute. It takes a made up mind. It takes a choice and a value in the individual for himself or herself. It takes the application of principle, and it takes the participation in the process of God. But mostly, I understand how much responsibility there is on the individual, but mostly it takes a whole lot of God. I need a lot of God in my life. I can see not many find it, and then not many live it, and not many are going to go therein. And I need God to help me tonight. I need grace. I need faith. I need a miracle. I need mercy. I need kindness. I need the church. I need the name of Jesus. I need the Holy Ghost. I need the Word of God moving in my life. Somebody shout about the goodness of God right now. Somebody talk in tongues and let that river of living water flow through your vessel right now. Hallelujah. So we walk in confidence. And we walk in faith and in understanding. And we walk with a certain attitude. And if you don't get an attitude about this, you won't last. You got to get an attitude about sin, an attitude about the devil, an attitude about backsliders, an attitude about people that want to influence you to leave the house of God. You got to get an attitude about everything. Jesus said you got to learn to hate your mama and your daddy and your brother and your sister and even your own life. You got to be willing to turn your back on anything and everything that's not going to help you live for God. It takes attitude to live for God. And so we walk in that attitude. And in that attitude, to our doubts, we speak. And to our fears, we speak. And to our enemies, we speak, and we just say what God has said. We go in places like Romans 8 and 28, and we start quoting the Word of God. I'm glad for our Bible quizzers and all those that are working with quizzing right now, because they're going to have a treasure trove of the Word of God down in their hearts. And we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together for good. Do you believe that? Do you know that? I believe everything. I might be going through a valley right now, but that's not all things. I may be going through a rough place right now, but that's not all things. We had a little object lesson in the house last night. My wife's making this wonderful dip out of these ground up cranberries and jalapeno dip, jalapeno peppers and all kind. I don't even know what all goes into it. I know it's got Philadelphia cream cheese in it, and you eat it with crackers, and it makes you want to just hang out over the plate and eat it till it's all gone. Matter of fact, I saw her last night or night before. The leftovers of what was left was in a little baggie, and she had already scooped out all she could scoop. She turned that baggie inside out, and she was working it. She was working on that thing, and I like that stuff. So I saw she had a bunch of it ground up, and she had all the cranberries ground up and this green stuff on top, and I just went over and got a spoon and got a big bite of it. Well, it was just cranberries and jalapenos. It was very bitter and very hot, and it wasn't quite like it's supposed to be just yet. That's why you don't want to short circuit the process. You want to let the cook work. And she didn't say, but she was thinking, it serves you right. And it probably did. But then I watched her. She's bringing other stuff, and she's bringing, and it's going to get good by the time she gets. I'm telling you, you may be going through the jalapenos right now. You may be going through the ground up cranberries right now. You might be in a place where it's not so tasty right now. But you just wait, devil. You just wait, the enemy of my soul. You just wait, because by the time God is finished, it's going to be all right, because all things work together for good to those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. If you love the Lord and you are the called according to his purpose, give your neighbor a high five and tell him, I'm in this. I'm going to live this. I'm going to serve God. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. God has this thing mapped out all together. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, say it. If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to know, Paul said he didn't spare his own son, delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Nobody's got a word to speak against the people of God or the church of the living God, because it's God's church and God is the judge. He died, yea, rather, he's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? God's going to leave you. God's going to forget about you. God doesn't love you anymore. No, we bow up our back and we say, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors. Just say, in all these things. Whatever you're going through right now, say, in all these things. Whatever your trouble is right now, say, in all these things. We are more than conquerors. Do you believe that? Are you more than a conqueror tonight? Through him that loved us, for I am persuaded. Would you say that? I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. That's what we say to our fear. That's what we say to our enemy. That's what we say to the trouble. We say, God's got this. God's planned this. God never fails. God never changes. This thing's going to go on after the devil is locked up and thrown into the lake of fire. This thing's going on. If you have a heart to live for God, nothing can stop you. Nothing outside of you can stop you. We proclaim it confidently. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We say it with confidence. Paul said in Philippians 1, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it into the day of Jesus Christ. There'll be days you don't feel God. There'll be days in a valley where you don't think God knows your name anymore. There'll be days when the enemy comes to you and whispers that to you. You don't matter. You are of no consequence. God's doing other things. God's doing important things, and you are not important. You need to bow up and say, I am the apple of his eye. He died for me. He didn't die for stars. He didn't die for mountains. He didn't die for constellations. He didn't die for the great features of the creation or the cosmos. He died for you. He died for me. You need to talk back to your trouble and talk back to your enemy. I am confident that God, who has begun a good work in me, he's going to continue it. Even though we talk to our fears and we talk to our doubts and to our enemies, every child of God sings, if they walk in wisdom and understanding, we all sing a common song. And David brings it to us in Psalms 124. Our text tonight is, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly be found? Where shall they stand? And this is a song that David teaches to Israel. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let all the men in the house say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let the ladies say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. I want every young person to say, if it had not been the Lord who was on my side. He said, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I understand my responsibility. I know I've got to walk in faith and confidence. I know I have to have an attitude about this. I know I've got to function in free will and moral agency and always say yes to God and make a decision not only to praise God but to be glad in the day that the Lord has given us. I understand my responsibility. But at the bottom of all of that, when you and I are just standing there in a quiet moment, I'm going to tell you, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, if it had not been for God, I can look back over my back trail. You don't want to hear all the stories, the snares, the things that were laid in my path that could have consumed me. But God kept me. God helped me. God had mercy for me. When I fell, God raised me up. If it had not been for God who was on my side. We speak boldly about what God can do. David spoke boldly about what God is able to do. He said in the 27th Psalm, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Would you say that tonight? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Doesn't that sound bold? That sounds bold. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the Lord's my light and my salvation. And say, whom shall I fear? Whom? Boy, I heard that. Whom? You know, we got to talk boldly like that. And David talks boldly like that in the middle of it, but it's all wound up with, if it had not been for the Lord. I want you to understand, I'm going to say these things, and these things are right, and I've got an attitude, and I'm going to do everything I can, and I'll be as strong as I can be, but everything I can do doesn't amount to a speck, not a little tiny invisible speck. All that I am and all that I will do in the balance of my eternity weighs nothing at all. I need God to heap grace and mercy and goodness and kindness and miracles and his word in. Somebody say amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. I don't care if they bring the whole army. We're not going to be afraid. That's what David said. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. I've set everything else on the side. One thing, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. I don't have a pavilion. And if I did, it wouldn't be big enough to hide me from what's trying to destroy my soul. But God's gonna hide me in his pavilion. He's my strong tower. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my sword. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. That sounds so confident. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. He sounds so strong. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises to the Lord. That's verses 1 through 6. But down in verse 13, he's standing there with a friend or just at the end of his discourse. And he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I know we preach about it. I know we sing about it. I know we take a bold stand. I know we're strong in it. But when we're just sitting here together after the service is over and we're just kind of all relaxed and everything, we look at one another and say, you know, all that trouble came up against me. I just about fainted. I was about to fall over and collapse. I just about passed out. Did you see that host that rose up against me? My heart was thundering in my chest. I was about to run for my life. I was about to faint. He said, I would have fainted. I had no strength at all unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise God. After I've done everything I can do, I know that grace and faith and God's love and His blood and His word, I know that they are a fortress to me. And God has everything that I need. If you feel a little bit insecure about all this, you got right to feel insecure in your own strength. But we're not leaning on our own strength. We're leaning on His strength. And He's never failed and He's never lost and He doesn't show any indication of change. And I'm relaxing in the hand of God. But you be careful of your stupid carnality, because it'll rise up and it'll start telling you that you are somebody and you know a few things and you've got some credentials and you've got some bona fides and you maybe have a little strength, and your carnal mind will start talking to you. But you need to bat that down and say, listen to me, my stupid carnal mind. You hear me? You get in the mirror and talk to yourself and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I didn't have a prayer. I didn't have a chance. I want you to know God does the work. God does the heavy lifting. God makes it work. God builds the church. I'll tell you the truth tonight. I don't know how to teach a Bible study. I don't know how to preach a sermon. I don't know how to walk before God. I can barely tie my own shoes. I don't know how to do anything that you got to do around the house of God. Doesn't this fill you with great confidence? My preacher's empty sack. He just doesn't know anything at all. He doesn't have any. I'm just telling you the truth tonight. I don't know nothing. I can't do anything. I have no strength. Not in the equation we're operating in. I don't have any of that. But I know who has it, and I know how to get there, and I know what to do, and I know how to respond. But I don't want you to ever make a mistake and think it's yours or mine or anybody in this house that's able to carry this load. As you look at it, at the end of the days, there's somebody that the mythology has a figure called Atlas who lifts the whole world upon his shoulder. I want you to know that's not far from the real biblical truth tonight, because I serve a God that carries the whole world on his shoulder, and he is not worried about how much you weigh or your trouble or your difficulty or your valley. He is able to carry it in you as long as he needs to. Let's give God some praise. Lindsay, come play. We're going to quit. Everybody say, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, man, I'm just a dumb sheep. You know, sheep are dumb, and God says we're like sheep. Tell your neighbor, sheep are dumb. And God says you're a sheep. Now tell them, I didn't call you dumb. I just said you're a sheep, and sheep are dumb. That's all I said. You get that little book about the 23rd Psalm, you find out that the shepherd knows that if a sheep gets rolled over on his back, he's too stupid to get up. He'll lay there and die. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have to worry about provision. Some of you are worried in this house tonight about what you're going to do and what you are able to do or what you are not able to do. And I want you to know the Lord is our shepherd and God is our provider. And you need to relax in that. You need to yield total control of all of that. Yeah, we've got things we've got to do, but at the bottom of the pile, it is God that does it all. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. The whole world can. I don't know what's going to happen Tuesday, and I don't know what's going to happen with the economy, and I don't know what's going to happen with this or that or the other, but I can tell you the Lord's my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He's going to take care of his people. He restores my soul. Somebody running on empty tonight, I want you to know God is the one. You need to draw close to God tonight. He's got everything that you need. He restores my soul. So he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even if I'm walking through that lonesome valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He said, I got you. I got this. I already went down to the grave. the hinges are all broken loose. It can't hold you in it. Just hold my hand and let's walk. Some of us are going to pass on before God comes. When your moment comes, just get yourself a good grip on that nail-scarred hand and walk yourself right down into that valley and whistle a little bit or sing a little, spit in the devil's eye. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because he's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Praise God. Anybody feel like you're surrounded by enemies right now? God's got a table already spread for you. You need to quit looking at your enemies and quit worried about the weakness of your own strength. And you need to get your eyes on him tonight. He's got a table spread in the presence of your enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Don't be worried about what's coming up behind you, because goodness and mercy are coming up behind you. You ever get to walking and feel the heebie-jeebies, like you want to look behind you, you're a little afraid to look and see? Goodness and mercy are following you all the days of your life. I'm not worried about the boogeyman. I got goodness and mercy on my back trail, and they're coming up behind me all the time. Ha. Let's praise him a little bit today. Hallelujah, Jesus. If the righteous scarcely be saved. He's tapping into the fact that it's not in my power. And if it were, I'd be lost for sure. But the Lord is on my side. Praise God. Psalms 33, there's no king saved by the multitude of a host, and a mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Neither shall he deliver by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in mercy. If you're young tonight and you're just starting out, you got a family starting, you got folks about to get married, folks that are heading that direction, people that are building their careers, and you're genuinely worried about what's going to happen in your world and if you will have an opportunity in your life, just understand the psalmist when he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Don't worry about God's part. He's got that covered. You just take care of your little part that he's got planned for you. You go ahead, chase your dreams, build your life, build your home, build your business, build your family. Walk in the strength of what God has done for you. And don't you worry for a minute. God's got it all in control. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Praise God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Turn to your neighbor and say, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. I want you to know God's got everything that you need, everything your circumstance requires. God's got it all. And the writer can say the righteous are scarcely, barely saved. And he's telling you that the sinner and the ungodly, where will they be found? But I want you to know that if it were by my strength, by my capacity, by my virtue, by my goodness, by my wisdom or understanding, I wouldn't have a chance. I wouldn't have a chance. But somewhere in the course of my life, grace and mercy reached down for me. The God of glory came down to me. And I want you to know tonight, this is not a barely thing. This is not a nearly thing. This is not an almost thing. This is a thing that hell and all of its denizens cannot change. And all the world could rise up against you, but nobody can pluck you out of his hand if you've got a mind to live for God, because he has it all in control tonight. Praise God. If you love him, let's come down around the altar tonight and let's give God praise and thanks and magnify him. Somebody bring you trouble. Somebody bring you worry. Lay it on an altar tonight. You've been worried because you're not strong. Get over that and embrace his strength tonight. You've been worried because you're not able, but God is well able. You've been worried because you don't know the answer, but God has all the answers. Somebody's worried because they don't have enough money. You're so silly. God's got everything you need. Somebody by you or take somebody's hand. Be strength. Be a blessing to somebody.
You will never forsake me.